Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week, we go in depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, and student life. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Perry Glanzer. Dr. Glanzer serves as Professor of Educational Foundations in the Baylor University School of Education and is a resident scholar in the Baylor Institute for the Studies of Religion. He's a leading researcher and thinker on moral education, faith-based higher education, and the relationship between religion and higher education. He's the author or co-author of numerous books on these subjects, including Restoring the Soul of the University, Unifying Christian Higher Education in a Fragmented Age, as well as The Idea of a Christian College, A Reexamination for Today's University, and his most recent book, Christ in Living Human Affairs, A Guide to Christian Thinking and Practices in the Field. He serves as editor-in-chief of Christian Scholars Review, and he's with us today here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Glanzer, really appreciate you taking the time to be with us. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Eric, thanks for having me. It's great to be with you.
And you know, at the end of a year in which so many of us in the Baylor family, whether we work at Baylor, whether we're students, whether it's someone who has a child at Baylor or is a graduate of Baylor, you know, we appreciate the work that so many people have done to bring this year to help it happen, for one thing, to happen in person. And also think at times reminded of the importance of a place like Baylor. And I think other universities and certainly Christian universities would have people who feel the same way. And so talking about that today, I'm excited to dive into some of these topics with you about the importance of Christian education and looking ahead at the impact of these times on it. And obviously, we touched on it a bit here, but I'm curious, as you think about your work, what are the questions that drive you, the questions that motivate the research you do in faith and higher ed?
Yeah, great question. Probably my specialization is in two areas, one in faith-based higher education. So really what drives me there is, you know, what difference does Christianity make for higher education? And I've kind of talked about three ways Christianity sometimes informs higher education. One is Christ assumed, and then the next one is Christ added, and the final one is Christ animating. And I see the third one as the best one. Christ assumed is, you know, you just assume, oh, you hire Christians, the Christianity is going to flow out. Well, sometimes that happens, but sometimes it doesn't. Especially if someone hasn't really thought about it. I mean, they may be really pious Christians in one area, but in their discipline, maybe they haven't thought about how does Christianity influence it. And then Christ added, you know, that may be, well, maybe you do a devotion at the start, or maybe there's chapel and prayer, but how does it influence the substance of what people are learning? And I do think it should be more than just Christ added. Christ should animate, bring to life everything that we do here at Baylor and other Christian universities. My second area is really in moral development. And there, traditionally, it's been thought of, okay, you know, you want people to think at a high level about moral principles. But I would argue that, especially for Christians, we should think about how does Christianity enliven all of our identities? How do we seek what I call identity excellence? What does it mean to be an excellent friend, an excellent, you know, for me, I'm an excellent professor, an excellent husband, an excellent father, an excellent part of Christ's body? That's all that is involved in that endeavor.
When you think about your own role of being able to teach here at Baylor, what does it mean to you to teach at a faith-based institution of higher learning, particularly as you think of, you know, Christ animating those interactions that you have with students?
Yeah, I think the major way it influences me is I can approach students holistically. I mean, to be honest, what most secular universities do is they want to teach you to be an excellent professional or an excellent citizen. Those are good things. We need those. But as a Christian, I want to teach students, okay, what does it mean to be excellent in all your identities? An excellent student, an excellent Christian, an excellent man or woman. Yeah, and so that's what's wonderful is I teach student life staff who are actually in charge of helping students with holistic education. And we can do that, I think, in a wonderful way here at Baylor and at other Christian universities.
So with something very good like that, what are the responsibilities that come along with that? And are there pitfalls inherent with that, potential pitfalls, I should say, that we need to think about in terms of how we do that?
Absolutely. You know, one of the responsibilities is we need to, talk about excellence. I mean, what does it mean to be excellent in your profession. For example, it doesn't mean an excellent historian or an excellent student. So you can't avoid that. And the pitfall is sometimes where we just maybe might focus on rules. For example, think about being an excellent spouse. Are you married, Derek?
I am.
Okay. You know, if you were to not commit adultery, does that make you an excellent spouse?
So kind of a minute, that's a bare minimum in there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And that's what I try to, you know, point out to students is, hey, you know, we can, you know, if you just focus on the moral rules, that's the bare minimum. I mean, if you don't steal, mm-hmm. you're not a good, it doesn't necessarily mean you're an excellent neighbor. So mm-hmm. let's shoot for the highest we can as Christians. Let's talk about excellence and not just, you know, obeying the Ten Commandments is great. Sometimes those are just minimum rules. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about what does it really mean to love, you know, for example, love my spouse deeply in an agape way that's self-sacrificial.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about moral formation, you know, a definition of moral formation in the classroom, is some of that what you're talking about?
It absolutely is. It's really moral formation that's not just, okay, we're obeying the rules, or perhaps we just do a few different virtues. We talk about some things like respect, responsibility. No, excellence in all of our identities involves virtues, rules, but practices, and it involves really also a larger story. For example, being an excellent student, I talk about with students. I mean, what does that involve? Well, for Christians, it involves this larger story that we're in. And so being an excellent student is not how you get your self-worth. We get our self-worth that we're made in God's image, that Christ has redeemed us. So don't get your self-worth from A's. And in fact, A's aren't a really good measure. I mean, what you're after, what your purpose is in being an excellent student is to learn. I tell my sons, hey, I don't care about your grades. I want you to learn. That's the real purpose that Christians should have. And I also tell my sons, hey, it was great you got a high PSAT score or something, but that's not how you get your self-worth. Self-worth comes from being made in the image of God and that you are fully valued and loved by God. That's how Christianity, I think, can make a difference in a Christian form of moral development and what it means to be, for example, an excellent student.
Visiting with Dr. Perry Glanzer, professor of Educational Foundations at Baylor. And Dr. Glanzer, as you're talking about being an excellent student, I can certainly remember being a student and you have high aspirations, but sometimes the day-to-day, you know, you talk about the pursuit of A's, the day-to-day, the pressures, the demands tend to almost be focused on, okay, get this done, then get this done, then get this done. Similarly, I know professors, particularly in 2020, have a lot of demands on your time. You're learning new things as it relates to online education, Zoom, student pressures. What are some ways, is it difficult as you talk about, you know, thinking about that broader picture besides, you know, teaching your students well in the discipline you teach? How I don't want to say how difficult is it, but how much purposefulness does it take as you think about being a professor or if you try to impart things to colleagues at Baylor or other universities to sort of think about these things and keep them in front of us when things get busy?
Yeah, one of the key components of moral development, in addition to, you know, having the proper motivation within the Christian story, looking at Christian virtues and different purposes, I would say is one of the things, certain practices. And one of those is really, for me, even keeping the Sabbath. Again, you don't want to see it as just this rule, but the real purpose is, okay, it demonstrates a trust in God. And so part of what I've even encouraged my students during COVID is don't feel like you have to work 7 days a week and burn yourself out because this is an emotionally demanding time. Make sure you're resting. Make sure you're feeding your soul during that day. I try to even structure my class so that I'm not giving work that's due, you know, early, first thing Monday. Because I think part of being a Christian educator is teaching these rhythms of life that God has given to us to give us life. To help with human flourishing, especially amidst an emotionally, mentally, physically draining pandemic.
Now, Dr. Glanzer, I want to ask you about implementing that more practically in the classroom, like that example you just gave. You're teaching the School of Education. I assume most of your students are planning on being educators, but do you, as we think about some of this more broadly, what all disciplines do you find students going into, or do you have any that are kind of looking even beyond that immediate, you know, traditional education sphere?
Yeah, a lot of the graduate students I'm teaching are looking at administration or being in student affairs, and both those are really demanding. a lot of extra time outside, especially in student affairs. I mean, there's activities associated, but I just had one student write a brilliant paper on how student affairs could help practice the Sabbath at Christian colleges and universities. You know, what are ways we can make sure things aren't scheduled as much on, you know, a particular day of the week, those kinds of things. I think that's very helpful. I mean, for me personally, I, because I've taught Sunday school in the past, and that feels like another class, I usually take a Jewish Sabbath of, you know, sundown Friday, sundown Saturday. Yeah, it's rejuvenated me. I started doing that in grad school, and it's just a wonderful life-giving practice. Now, again, it's not a rule. You know, if you just look at it as a rule, that's, I think, the wrong way to look at it. But if you look at it as this is something the Lord's, I mean, you know, the Sabbath was made for us.
We are visiting with Dr. Perry Glanzer here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Glanzer serves as professor of educational foundations in the Baylor University School of Education and is a resident scholar in the Baylor Institute for the Studies of Religion. As you think about your classes, obviously you had a class that you really enjoyed here in the midst of this pandemic, Dr. Glanzer, but as you think about what we've been talking about here, how has the pandemic and the realities of social distancing and just the challenges that everyone's facing, how have you sort of applied these concepts that you've been thinking about for many years into, the situation of the pandemic?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, it's certainly been a challenge, but I think, you know, what I was talking with a good colleague of mine, Tommy Kidd, the other day, and he was mm-hmm. talking about how he actually found students were more approached them. I mean, they were more likely to approach you after class for some reason on Zoom. And I found the same way. In fact, I had a student come up to me this last semester. It was just wonderful. She says, you know, we've been having a lot of these conversations, but I'd like to have some more of these conversations. You know, spiritually, I'm kind of thinking through these things. I'm not really sure in terms of where I would call myself a Christian or not. And I'd like to sort of think through some of these things. Can we have some more conversations about that after class? And so it was neat. I was able to gather a couple of the other classmates, another graduate student, and just really have some extra time after class where we talked about some of the things, even started reading the Bible. That's never happened to me. Actually, that kind of quality of interaction and going that, you know, to that depth has not happened as much. And I don't know what it was, but Zoom allowed, I think, for some rate, that kind of vulnerability. And, you know, hats off to the student for really being vulnerable as well. I mean, I thought it was just a wonderful example for her approaching me like that. But really throughout the classes, I feel like just staying on kind of afterwards, students have talked more, which has really been nice. So I guess that's not really adding anything. It's more been the mm-hmm. students who have done it. And it is an advantage of technology I wasn't expecting. So it's been a pleasant surprise. I will say, you know, doing some other things, making sure, you know, one thing I have made sure, and I think it's just good pedagogy all around, not necessarily even, you know, Christians, others know this, is just making sure students gain ownership of the material and have times to process it themselves, particularly in breakout rooms and through questions and dialogue. And this group has been really fantastic at those kinds of discussions.
We are visiting with Dr. Perry Glanzer here on Baylor Connections. Dr. Glanzer, I want to shift slightly and get your thoughts as someone who has, you know, studied Christian education, Christian higher education for a long time. And, you know, I don't want to be too generic because each Christian university is different. Each faces unique marketplace challenges or advantages. But are there broad themes you've seen? A lot of people talk about, well, how's the pandemic impacting higher education and each different type of university? Are there some themes you're seeing or talking to colleagues and thinking about, well, how do we grapple with this? Or how do we take advantage of this? Or how do we protect ourselves from this?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, honestly, one of the major challenges, it's going to be a financial drain and difficulty for a lot of Christian universities. Part of this is, to be honest, the way we have structured recently, America has the student loan situation has allowed universities then to price in those student loans. And as a result, has really resulted in a lot of tuition inflation. And that's really been a struggle then for a lot of private universities because they're having to face this kind of tuition inflation. And pandemic has just really put some pressure on them. And it's a pressure that's going to be increased by the decrease in the number of college going students, particularly starting the year 2025. So yeah, there's gonna be a lot of challenges there. We're gonna lose some Christian institutions, I'm afraid. And so we're gonna have to figure out how do we innovate and be entrepreneurial. I think this is one way we've learned to do this. I will say there have been a couple institutions that have shown the way in doing this. I don't, you know, necessarily like everything about how they're doing things, but like Liberty University or Grand Canyon University, they're the two largest Christian universities in the world because of how they've innovated in terms of online offerings. And you know, one could say they're going where the students are and serving them, and that's a plus. I think the challenge is, okay, well, how does Christianity still different there? How do you have character formation in an online setting, spiritual formation? Those are the challenges. But I think some things can be done. So yeah, we're going to face those challenges. Also, I think one of the things we're going to need to do is we need to do a top-notch job of responding to the pandemic. And my hat's off to the Baylor leadership. Our higher, you know, our executive leadership has done a fantastic job, I think, of being data-driven, of caring about the students and their safety. And I think we had a successful semester. And I think other Christian universities that are able to do that will, you know, show, yeah, it just makes a difference when you can show on that kind of stage, hey, you know, we not only do this moral and spiritual part, but we are serious about the academic side and the safety side, and we take the data seriously. And that's what I'd hope that a Christian university would do, that we would be the best place to go for, hey, when a pandemic happens, we know we're going to get the best data from a Christian institution. Not conspiracy theories or other kinds of lazy moralizing that I have seen out there.
As you think about the unique role of a Christian institution in the marketplace, are there any areas of strength or creativity to leverage that stand out to you going forward? Besides, I think the obvious that they offer something immediately different in that Christian, you know, in that Christian foundation.
Yeah, I think, I mean, our strength is really going to be holistic education. People are hungry for that. I did notice like Harvard, they have a new center in the social science that's looking at human flourishing, trying to measure that in the social sciences. Well, you know, we should be someone who's saying and coming along, we're trying to do that with some survey projects we're doing here. I'm part of a team that's doing that. Hey, we're going to measure this as well about human flourishing, broadly speaking, not just academics, not just critical thinking, although those are very important. But also, you know, moral formation, spiritual formation, how are we measuring that? I think we can offer something specific and unique there. I will say too, I mean, we have an advantage in that the population is going to decline, but Christians are having more babies, which is, I think, is a great thing. And around the world we are. For example, Africa is the fastest growing continent in terms of population. It also now has the most Christians of any continent in the world. It also in the past 20 years has started the most Christian institutions of higher education more than any of the other continents combined. I mean, Christian higher education has just taken off in Africa. And so I think there's some real opportunities to partner, perhaps even, you know, for US institutions to recruit African student, Christian students, but also partner with African institutions because there's going to be some real leadership happening in Africa, which I think is just exciting. For the worldwide Christian community to see some of those things happening.
Visiting with Dr. Perry Glanzer and Dr. Glanzer, as we head into the final couple of moments here, I wanted to close by asking you, I think, be tying it together a little bit with the idea of a university's unifying soul. I think you've painted a picture of that over the last 20 minutes or so, but I wanted to ask you specifically because it's a big part of your 2017 book, Restoring the Soul of the University. When we think of a unifying soul, even beyond the definition, what does that mean to you and I imagine many of your colleagues?
Yeah, how I defined it in the book and how really I define it in my work is that a unifying soul is a larger meta narrative that holds everything together. And it's really what a Christian university offers that a secular university does not. I mean, maybe there's some overall narratives about, you know, education or learning or, you know, helping people, but really Christianity offers this cohesiveness that we can say, okay, you want to be a great, excellent biologist and an excellent Christian. Well, how do we bring those identities together to be an excellent Christian biologist, then how do we also bring it together so that, hey, you don't lose your marriage and lose your children in the midst of being an excellent Christian biologist? And how do you have healthy human flourishing so that you steward your body, so that you steward the earth as a Christian biologist and you advocate for that. And also that you're a great friend, an excellent friend, an excellent citizen. How does that all fit together in one life? And of course, there's not one way it all fits together. I mean, obviously, that's the beauty, the diversity of the body of Christ. But I think what we can do is we can ask all those questions. And in fact, one of the things, I was just talking to a colleague at Boston College. He's Catholic. And we were both talking about how we need to move forward in Christian graduate education to help think about this idea. What does it mean to do Christian graduate education well? So we don't burn out our students, our PhD students. We don't abuse them. So we help them go in with flourishing in life. Both Catholic and Protestant institutions have started this process, but he and I were both talking. There's not as much written about that as there really needs to be. And I think Christian institutions can be on the cutting edge of really helping take care of holistic education, even at the higher levels.
Well, Dr. Glanzer, as we are about up against the clock here, I appreciate your time and sharing that. It sounds like there's some opportunities for some of your future research projects there as we talk about that. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time and for these really kind of reminders of what so many people are doing here at Baylor and pouring into students, even in the midst of the challenges of this pandemic. We appreciate that and appreciate your work. So thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity, Derek. Appreciate it.
Dr. Perry Glanzer, Professor of Educational Foundations in Baylor School of Education and Resident Scholar in the Baylor Institute for the Studies of Religion, our guest today here on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. A reminder that you can hear this and other programs online, baylor.edu/connections, and you can subscribe to the program on iTunes. Thanks for joining us here on Baylor Connections.